Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Hope y'all are having a great Wednesday afternoon out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Got your host, James, sports director around these parts, Michael Comer, with us as well. And we want to thank our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, giving us a chance to hang out with you for the hour, talk sports. We want to hear from you. Hit us in the numbers. We are wide open, like every wide receiver ever. We're wide open. We always think we're wide open. It doesn't matter who's on us. We always think we are. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Got plenty to talk about. We have the greatest problem in radio. We have too much to talk about, Michael.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing. It's a wonderful problem to have, and we're very thankful for it.
Some of my favorite radio broadcasters of all time have had that problem.
Yeah.
He never got, God rest his soul, but never got a chance to talk about three quarters of what he wanted to.
Yep. What we want to get into today is certainly talking local. We got some local sports to cover and certainly some games to tell you about in our schedule. I want to get into a little bit of other talk, local talk as well, as a former Northwoods leaguer, Megan Good. I want to get into some of that. Got a couple of good stories lined up for everybody that I want to get into, and certainly talk college football, pro football with Michael, all of that. As we get ready to talk a little bit of Thursday night football, Michael, to kick things off, I actually want to do something. So I like to have fun with the conspiracy theorists and the take artists out there.
Yeah.
It's not really my bag, but if you're into it, more power to you.
Some of them make sense, some of them don't.
It's all there. And I honestly think that it's just kind of fun to throw these out there, because that's just the way my brain works. It's just I'm always thinking of different angles on things. And I would like everybody that does not know to let them know about a website called Tankathon.com. Tankathon.com is exactly what you think it is. NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB, WNBA, all of them. Who's got the best odds at the number one draft pick the next season and everything? I bring that up because it adds weight to my argument. I believe the New Orleans Saints are tanking for Archie Manning.
They could be.
I
thought you're, because I saw something this morning that as of right now, the Titans were the number one overall draft pick. But I haven't seen much of New Orleans. I've been so busy, but
yeah.
Man, I guess it didn't look pretty.
No, and certainly there's a billion reasons, logical, realistic reasons why the New Orleans Saints are bad.
Oh.
However, I'm going to take the angle that they're doing this on purpose so that they can get a Manning and keep up that whole storyline that
of course
they had with the father, not his father, but the father Manning of
Archie.
So I believe that they're tanking basically for him, and not even for his grandkid. I mean for him. I mean literally
could
for
be.
Him.
It could be
anybody. Would tank for the kid. I'm saying they're doing it to they're doing it for him. This is what I would sell to the fan base if I was them. Now, that may sound crazy and insane, but that's what we are as sports fans. Why else would I remain to be a Chicago Bear fan, Michael?
There's a country song that made me think of that.
Pure,
if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
Pure insanity. There is no, my brain is realistic. It's logical. I don't do good with things that aren't factual. And yet I cannot logically give anybody a reason outside of the fact that I was born in the state of Illinois and my family is what it is,
so,
of why I am what I am. But nobody wants to hear Popeye or a Bear fan on a Wisconsin radio station.
Here's the thing with Arch Manning. The one time I did get to see him play, he didn't look good either.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can look good against San Jose State, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either one of us would probably look average, maybe.
Well, whether it's him or it's Caleb Williams or it's Jordan Love or it is any of these guys, they're way too early in their careers to predict anything or to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not ready to do that with any quarterback.
No,
maybe
you
outside.
Shouldn't. No,
you know where I'm just now in the last two seasons. Well, maybe a little bit longer than that. Last two, three seasons, getting an idea of that with Jameis Winston. Just to give you an example of a player. Who I was finally ready to say, like, you know what? He got the eye surgery. The 30 for 30 he did there, where 30 touchdowns, 30 picks, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to give him a chance after he left Tampa Bay and say, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe he does that. Maybe he just needs to be in the right system. We've seen this before. No, turns out Jameis is Jameis. And that's no problem. He's had a nice NFL career, got about five or six contracts. I don't think he
got
anything.
Bunch of money in the bank if he was smart.
He's got nothing to complain about. I don't think that we can tell any athlete, let alone especially a quarterback, right away. These guys are all different foods. They're all going to bake differently.
Yep.
Got to let them do it. Now, whether or not the fan base or ownership is going to give them that chance, that's a whole different story. And whether they're surrounded by the right things to be able to achieve those things. But I do think that Manning is going to end up in New Orleans. I do think that's what's going to happen.
Now, I got another conspiracy theory
yes,
for you.
Yes, what?
So, for our listeners, some have maybe heard me say it, and some haven't. They'll hear me say it now. I do have an affectionate other name for Detroit, and it's appropriate to say it's nothing too bad. Detoilet.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, I got to thinking about conspiracy, though.
Mm-hmm.
When I was sitting at Lambeau Field, and there's a little too much blue. They call it Honolulu blue. I was looking at it, and I went home, and I look.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like Clorox blue. That's like toilet bowl cleaner blue. So it all makes sense now. That's a conspiracy. I'm gonna fight for that one.
I like it. Go for it, man. Go for it. That's what this show is all about.
I figured you'd get a laugh out of that one.
I love it. I love it. It's just as funny to me to see the wild predictions that come out of week one.
Oh my god!
And the people that want to now fans are again a whole different thing. I would like the fans to be better, but I don't expect them to be your fan. I just got done telling you I'm insane. When it comes to the sport, people that are paid to talk about this for a living, you have to have a accountability. You have to have certain things that you can't just go out there and say whatever is on your mind at that second and be in the moment like that. You're supposed to be smarter and better at it than that. Why else are you paid to do this? It doesn't make there are fewer and fewer people in sports media that I care to listen to.
Oh my goodness, Cam Newton this last week. My goodness, what's wrong with you?
That's I think the most disappointing part is when it's former athletes.
Yep.
Stephen A. Smith is Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
I don't expect anybody to be anything that they aren't. That's
Skip
fine.
Bayless, too.
Exactly. Take artists. These people, that's what they've made their whole careers
Colin
on.
Colin Coward.
It ain't my thing. I don't like it, but fine. Do what you're going to do. You've made millions more than I have. But if you're going to have this, if your art, you got to, this is not, you don't get to be Brett Favre and forget about the last interception. You got to go out there and learn from that shit or stuff, or at least be able to grow from it or something.
I get your point.
One thing that I do think that is going to be coming up with this conversation when we get into these guys and letting them mature, see what happens, is the evidence of players that are so good already. J.J. McCarthy did something in that game that I haven't seen, I don't think, in a long time, where he, in the first half,
you're right. Yep.
The first half of that game, he didn't look scared or anything. He looked like he was a little bit out of his element and a little bit like, slow down. Like everything was just a bit big, a little too fast. By the third quarter, he seemed to be all right. And then by the fourth quarter, it was like, hey, all right, we've been here before. Let's do this. I've already played three quarters of NFL football. I'm fine.
See, I was looking at that a different way. I hadn't seen he had done something that nobody else had done for a long time. Well, I mean, it had been 9 months since somebody played the Bears.
Okay. Again, this is a sports show, bro. And what I'm saying is that what he did there was needs to be noted.
Yeah,
he's a Viking. You're right now.
To leading that back, that was something.
You're not paid to be a Packer fan. I'm not paid to be a Bear fan. We're supposed to analyze the games. And when we're analyzing these games, I saw a young man do something I have not seen a quarterback do.
That's...
I haven't seen a kid that age do that in a game. That's noteworthy. I think that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Again, I don't really have any reason to root for the kid or anything, but I do think that it was pretty darn cool to notice. And on the other side of it, you had a guy who melted down a bit, who did not stick to his measurement, went back to old habits. It's going to take a while to break him of that if you do. I don't know. I'm betting on him, but I also don't bet. I'm not a good gambler. I had something here. I had something good for you.
Go ahead.
When it comes to J.J. McCarthy, I think that Packer fans have something beautiful. You get a chance to beat three states in one kid. He's from Chicago.
Yep, that's right.
He played in Michigan, and now he's playing in Minnesota. So when the Packers play Minnesota and they beat Minnesota, which I do think they're going to, you get the joy of beating three states. Yep. That's got to feel pretty good.
You know, they talk about the overreactions, and I was fortunate enough, just like you were fortunate enough, to watch all four teams out of the North this weekend. And I don't know what your take was. You can let us know here in a second, but if just based on 1 week, the hot take, the hot reaction, Green Bay is head and shoulders above the other three.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of season. There's a lot of injuries. There's so much that goes into it. McCarthy, he did show something. With as bad as he played early – And as good as Caleb Williams did, relatively played well.
Oh, I was very okay with his first time.
Very relatively played well. Mm-hmm. But that third quarter, neither one looked good. But it was that fourth quarter. And it seemed like that pick six, that snap right there, that's what snapped him out of it.
I love football.
You know what I mean?
I love how that could be. That's how, I mean, the Baltimore-Buffalo game.
That fumble by King Henry, and then boom, Buffalo wins.
Ask our listeners. I spent half the show a Monday barking about the lull, and Matt LaFleur talked about this and how the Packers almost fell into it. And this
early third quarter.
Us right into this because Michael was actually at the game. Thank you for sending me that shot, by the way, man.
I can send you some good ones tomorrow.
Oh, I love it. When it comes to – oh, yeah, and we'll get into that in a second because we're going to lead right into Thursday Night Football. But I want to rewind, go to that game, and the – I want to use a bunch of different verbs right now, electricity, excitement, all of that. I'll let you speak for yourself. I'm not going to do that. What I want to know is when not only the momentum going – into Lambeau and during the game, but when Micah Parsons makes that sack and the feeling for you and
bananas.
The place, I want all of that.
Walking into the stadium, I mean, it was a pretty nice tailgate to begin with. I mentioned it before, and Coach LaFleur, he mentioned it too, a little too much toilet cleaner blue, but you know, what are you going to do? You got to look at ticket prices too, and you got to see how expensive it is to go to a Lions game compared to a Packers game. Mm. It's night and day. Mm. Now you look at what it cost to go to a Packers game 10 years ago to what it does now. Mm. It's night and day too. Mm. It's a little ridiculous, but that's not the discussion here. Walking into the stadium, it was a Lambeau crowd. People are polite. I mean, you get your knuckleheads, but people were polite. People were nice. I had two Lions fans next to me, and they're good. They're nice people.
A calm vibe, not necessarily a different vibe than you're used to.
It was calm, but it was a powder keg.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for a reason to let loose.
Sure.
And when he came out of, now obviously the tunnel, place goes nuts. It's been a long time since I've heard a pop like that at Lambeau Field. I think the last one was that Hail Mary at the end of the first half of the wild card game against the Giants.
What a game.
When Cobb caught it at the back right along the end line. So I think that was, the other one was a Randall Cobb pop. And that was when he ran that 10,000 yards on that Sunday night to beat the Bears when Rodgers broke his leg.
Man, that was an amazing play.
Yeah, it was. That was, I think, the best Lambeau
pop. Is that Cobb's rookie year, too?
No, Cobb's rookie year, he did that, like, 108 kick
That's
return.
That's what I'm thinking
kick
of.
Kick return against the Saints.
Yeah.
But anyways, what did when he came on that field, popped. But on that first play, when he made an impact on that first play, mm-hmm. when he pressured the quarterback and screwed up the timing, the place was going bananas. Now, he impacted a lot of plays. He wasn't a factor in a lot of plays, but when he wasn't a factor, he was still drawing a double team.
Yeah.
And no calls and hands to the face. And, you know, you've seen the pictures. Everybody's seen the pictures. Yeah. That it's like, okay, they could call that on every play, too. I respect that. Just like a hold. That's not my point. But then when he chased down Goff, and everyone says a lion getting a gazelle. Gazelle's outrunning a lion. It was a cheetah.
Yeah.
And now, granted, I don't think he's cheetah fast, but that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And place went bonkers. And, how about when he that Gibbs.
Oh, that's down.
That Gibbs, when they stretched it out, he was part of it, that it was a two-yard loss. Green Bay's defense did show something. And part of it, I was talking about last week, of they lost two of their veteran linemen, they being Detroit. They lost two of their veteran linemen. They lost their O coordinator, D coordinator. You could tell it by the way they played. It was like they couldn't figure out their identity. It was like...
Oh, yeah.
And the other part was how physical Detroit played last year. That was gone.
Yeah.
They did not look like the bullies in the room, whereas Green Bay did.
Where that's going to come, and we'll see if, again, they have the time, the ownership gives them the time, all these things, but Detroit was able to play that way because you can play fast and angry when you know what you're doing. You're in a system for so many years. Aaron Glenn is there for so many years. Ben Johnson is there for so many years. You know this playbook. You know what your team is going to call. The coaching staff knows you. You know the coaching staff.
Yeah.
You can go out there.
There's wrinkles, of course.
You can be that kind of confident, that kind of brass and everything. When you don't have that backing and you're not as confident in the playbook because you don't know it as well, you're not going to play that way. I don't know that Detroit isn't that guy still. They just don't have that confidence right now.
Right.
They could get it back in a game. They could get get it back in, well, in a quarter.
They got Chicago this week. You never know.
Exactly. You just got done talking about Minnesota changing their fate right there. We had the first half of Minnesota being like, oh, well, maybe they'll be in the bottom of the division. And then all of a sudden, everybody's now, well, wait a minute. Now maybe Green Bay does have competition at the top of the division, and Minnesota's apparently a Super Bowl contender now.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, they're a lot higher on the list than I think people realize.
I
don't understand why. I'm not talking about fans in our division. We know Minnesota.
Yeah.
But the national basis does not seem to understand this has been a very good team for a long time.
Yeah.
The only thing that they were missing is a quarterback. They may have it. Who knows? But even if they don't, they are still better than most teams, including the Chicago Bears.
Well, look at the weapons they got around them. They got Jefferson, Thiel, and
Jefferson.
Addison when he comes back. You got another receiver. I forget his name. You got Jones. You got Mason. You've got a lot of weapons. Hawkinson. You've got a bunch of...
Jefferson and Chase are not only the two best wide receivers in football by far and away, they are also the two biggest game changers possibly at positions. Keep in mind, everybody's a flanker now.
Yeah.
There are no more. They're just giving these guys labels so that they can give them a certain contract because wide receivers get paid this much. Running back. No, everybody's a flanker now. Tight ends are flankers. Everybody's got to be able to block, got to be able to catch, got to be able to run. You're all flankers. When it comes to that, there is no athlete like Ja'Marr Chase. None. Watch his highlight reel and tell me different.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Justin Jefferson is just a hair different. Like, really, when you put a guy like that on an offense, that is also one thing Justin Jefferson does not get credit for, how tough he is.
Oh, he's tough son of a gun.
He is a tough wide receiver. It is hard to knock him out of a game.
There was a couple hits where it looked like he got folded up like a suitcase and he came back up.
He will take the catch in the middle. He will take the catch down the field. He will do what it takes just like Ja'Marr Chase. That's why I'm talking about these guys as game changers because they're willing. And they're not. Look, I didn't mind Randy Moss. Randy, go down the field. He ain't going up the middle. All right. He ain't going up the middle like Sterling. He ain't going up the middle like Jerry Rice. He ain't going. Right. There's a reason why I would never put Randy Moss in my top five wide receivers of all time. I think he's amazing and changed the game. Chris Carter. I will give Chris Carter credit for the tapping catch out of going out of bounds.
Yeah.
There's very few wide receivers that'll ever do it better than Chris Carter. It was one of the best of all time.
Yeah,
at that.
Herman Moore was up there too.
So that is last week. You come out of that one with not only a win, but a win over the division rival, last year's winner, and a game that you really needed to win. Again, going back to LaFleur's press conference talking about last couple of games against Detroit, how that's gone. Now let's look ahead to Thursday Night Football, short week. And you come back to where I started with a lot of this, where giving young quarterbacks time.
Yes.
And then there's Jordan Love, who came out relatively. Now, he had some time to sit, learn, but still came out pretty quick out the gate, performing to at least well enough to we don't have to spend a first round draft pick on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Played that good and certainly has shown from the contract extension and everything since then. And then you've got Jaden Daniels on the other side of things.
Who hit the ground running.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just different cats, different breeds, different way that these guys handle this. But more importantly, we've got 1-0 teams on Thursday Night Football, and we are used to being let down by Thursday Night Football. I feel like they gave us a good match to kick things off at
least. You're right. You kind of took the words out of my mouth. It's like, for once, there's a game worth watching on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Instead of like Miami-Cincinnati. A snoozer. Or the Jets and the Browns. Yeah,
a team that you forgot was in the NFL on Thursday Night Football. That's usually what happens.
So the first thing that comes to mind with that game is two teams that are going to be there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in the playoffs. Whether it's a division or a wild card, as of right now, I would think the Commies are going to be probably in the wild card, just based on that division. Green Bay probably win the division, but there's a lot of... I'm not counting the chickens before they hatch here. Green Bay has to prepare for a totally different quarterback. Goff... Yeah, it was Goff. I still screw up Stafford and Goff. Still do that. Yeah, you do it for so long.
I'm no different, yeah.
So Goff isn't exactly known for being fleet of foot. Daniels is. Green Bay's, and he's different than a Caleb Williams. That when he starts playing school ball, Caleb Williams is tough to beat. But when you can keep him in the pocket, you're going to beat him.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels can beat you with his arm.
Yeah.
But when you allow him to dress it up, dance it around, draw it up in the dirt, he's very tough to beat. I would say running game, Green Bay's maybe a little bit better, a little bit. not much, but a little bit. Wide receivers, I would maybe say Daniel and Scary Terry McLaurin, maybe an edge to Washington. Mm-hmm. But defense, they're comparable. I mean, you got Von Miller on that side, you know, then, of course, Parsons on this side. They know how to take on Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that we need to remember as Packer fans is they've seen Parsons several times throughout the years. They can game plan for that. But that comes up the other part of the Parsons. I almost call him a possum. Mm. Parsons is how do you prepare for everybody else? Because Gary showed a lot. Cooper showed a lot. Van Ness showed a lot.
Van Ness had the game that everybody's been begging for him to have.
He needed help.
Yeah.
And then you look at Quay Walker. He was a fingernail away from an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the secondary, they really didn't get tested. This week, I think, is going to be a little different. The statistics show that the home team on Thursday nights, and you can verify this, the home team on Thursday nights usually has like a 65-ish, 68% chance to win historically on a short week. I think they hold serve. I think Green Bay does. There'll have to be a turnover or a stop.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it comes down to. I don't think it'll be a shootout. But if it does, man, that's going to be interesting to see if Green Bay can keep up. And I'm not doubting Green Bay. It's just I've seen enough of their football to know that the way they're built now, it's kind of like an option team. They might not be the best suited for a comeback.
I'm curious to see how these defenses play, especially on a short week, and want to see how they play against that defense for Green Bay and that defensive line, linebackers against that offensive line.
It was something.
And same story for Washington's and Green Bay on the other side of the ball. And in part because we're getting to see some of those guys, at least early in the season, still healthy. And you're going to get a better example of that now than we would at the end of the season.
Right.
One of the things that I'm excited about, too, is just getting to see two young quarterbacks and two young, just studs going out there and doing this. It's going to be fun. It's going to be hard for it to be a bad game to me, and just because it's the only game they got the spotlight all to themselves, and they know that. This is week two. Now it's go time. Week one, you get a lot of excuses. Week one, you have a lot of even fans that'll make excuses. Week two, that's where jobs start to get, you know, if they don't get lost, that's where they're starting to write your first name on the unemployment check.
And the thing with this game coming up, there's a lot riding on it for Green Bay.
Nobody does checks anymore. Huh. I don't know what I was doing there.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Well, I mean, I do. But anyways, thanks for letting me know I'm a nobody.
You're a good teammate.
That's what I hear normally. But I'll tell you another thing. There's a lot of distractions in this game for Green Bay. The history that Green Bay and Washington have on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can't forget the elephant in the room, even though for a lot of people, it's kind of turned into just another day, and I hate saying that.
Just
another day.
You're right.
I mean, it's not. I was in eighth grade at West Junior High here, just right down the road, and I remember how that felt.
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
My shop teacher was a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. and he's like, I need to kind of stay by the phone. In case they called him and said, hey, drop what you're doing and come to whatever base.
Got its main meaning.
You know, that Monday night, first Monday night game after 9/11, when Gizzy comes running out of the tunnel holding the American flag and runs out to the big G on the 50 and waves it. I mean, you can't beat that. So, there's history between the teams on the date. They're putting Sterling Sharp's name on the Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
They're wearing their all-whites. Green Bay's 1-0 and all the all-whites. So you could take that I take it back, 2-0, because they wore the winter warning out in Seattle last year. So you could take that for what it's worth. I don't really buy too much into the uniform combination. I don't. But that has the makings of an emotional letdown for Green Bay, but that has the makings of a lot of momentum and a lot of concentration and a lot of saying, hey, we get through this with a win, you might be going to the bye week 4-0.
When we talk about that interception that happened for Minnesota and kind of turned things around for them and everything, that is Micah Parsons going to Green Bay for that team.
Yes.
That is an organization that was in a bit of a stalemate, but couldn't afford to be. and couldn't afford to feel that way. Like when you're in a bad mood, but you can't be. You got other things to do. You know.
Oh yeah, that's kind of how I feel right now. I'm not feeling the best. You know,
100%. We're both in that same boat, man. When it comes to them, they were going to do that. That's how they were going to go through this season. Maybe it would have been successful. I don't know that they were going to go too far without some key things happening and falling into place.
Right.
Micah Parsons shows up, and it is a huge jolt to that team. It is an interception when you needed it most.
For sure.
A momentum changer. I think that you can carry that the whole season. I think you, now it's week to week. You're going to have bad games. You're going to games when maybe you're blown out. Who knows? But that momentum is going to keep you from getting into the quicksand and falling into that lull that I was talking about, because I don't believe in coincidences. Yes, sometimes some things happen because they happen.
Right.
But more than likely, there is a logical reason of why that went down that way.
Yep.
And man, whether it is Baltimore and them having this knack for blowing leads, or half of these coaches in football, and it's always in football, man. You don't hear this in basketball or in hockey.
Very rare in baseball.
We got to hold our lead, everybody. Our quarterback, who is a two-time MVP and he's one of the greatest athletes on the planet, hand the ball. And not even just to Derrick Henry, and not even just like a handoff, but a hand up the middle that you know is going to get shut down in 2 yards.
Yep.
Let's just go ahead and do that. Let's pray to the football gods that we can hang on to this game. That is not football. Football is not won that way.
No.
Football is won by stepping on the opponent's throat and not stopping.
And Green Bay did that, and that was refreshing to
see.
That's
the difference of the lull in surviving the lull, and what we're talking about here with maybe a let down on Thursday, tomorrow, or something like that. I don't see that happening with Green Bay.
I think
it could happen to Washington. Washington's coming off of a lot of highs and expecting a lot from this season, and we've been seeing a lot of sophomore slumps. I'm not saying it'll happen to Jaden Daniels, but C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence and a couple of other players that really had fine rookie seasons that kind of went downhill after that.
And if you want to draw conclusions from week one to week two, I mean, do what you want. But Washington holding off the Giants 21-6, right? At home? I think it was at home.
I'm not sure.
Either way.
I did not see one highlight from that game.
Very few.
I didn't think about it.
And that's where I'm coming from is, what's a more impressive win? Green Bay beating Detroit.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a beating. That last touchdown late on, the garbage time touchdown, garbage time yards, whatever. That happens. And that was a heck of a catch by Tesla there.
Whew.
That was an unbelievable catch.
Awesome.
I'll give the man credit all day.
So cool.
But you want to draw conclusions from first week opponents and what happened. Green Bay's win's a lot more impressive against the Lions than it was Washington against the Giants.
Yeah, outside of Buffalo's victory, I don't know if anybody had a more impressive victory than Green Bay. They probably haven't overthought it, so I don't
maybe
know.
Tampa. Maybe Tampa coming back.
I like that Tampa team.
Me too.
Ever since Brady left, I've kind of liked them.
When it comes to the Baker effect.
It's the Baker thing, yeah. So one of the other things that has to do, I think, a little bit with the lull I'm talking about there, and in some of these things that we're getting into before we go to break, we'll come back, talk some local sports with y'all. The thing to me that I notice with a lot of these coaches and quarterbacks, and the idea of I'm going to control you, and I'm going to control the playbook. When the lull happens, when a team quote-unquote chokes, which I think is one of the most over-exaggerated terms in all of... It is the most over-exaggerated term in sports.
But sometimes it happens.
But the term doesn't mean what you're saying. Nobody actually choked.
Right.
The moment wasn't too big for these athletes. They didn't get in their own heads and overthought it. It's not that. It's not what's happening. They messed up. They made a mistake. They could have done it when the game was going good, and they're feeling the great. Like, I feel like people forget how the brain works when they're talking about sports sometimes. Like, we could talk about, like, you really do genuinely think that this athlete, this person that got to this point in their career and has been there, but like, so Patrick Mahomes choked the Super Bowl, even though he's been to two Super Bowls.
Oh, no, not there.
I'm not talking about you at this, but I've heard the term choke in so many different regards, and it makes no dang sense to me. me anytime I've ever heard it. The New York Knicks and John Starks did not choke. He didn't forget how to shoot. The moment wasn't too big for him. He had an off night. He played bad. There's a reason for this. He wasn't playing well. Mm. It happens. It had nothing to do with the moment. The moment wasn't too big for him. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you get to that level of playing professional sports and not be able to handle a moment. Now, is the speed too much, or are you having an off night? Is your leg hurting you more than it was in the first quarter? Sure, all these things are factors. Again, like realistic reasons for this happening, not just all of a sudden somebody, oh my God, I play professional sports for a living. Oh, I can't handle this.
I'll argue.
Get out of here with that.
I'll argue one case. NFC title game in Seattle, Green Bay. When the onside kick, and you had Jordy Nelson there lined up, and I forget what the name of the Packer player. He was there. He was a blocker, and he goes up to catch it, and he bounces off his hands and helmet. Seattle gets it and ends up winning the game.
Yeah, he messed up.
Yeah,
he didn't choke. He messed up.
To me, that's the team collectively
choking. He
wasn't
in the air, and all of a sudden, like, oh my God, this moment's too big for me. I can't handle this. I want to go home and go under my bed.
I mean, it kind of looked like that.
He might have actually. You know what? I take it back. You're absolutely right. You're 100% right, Michael. You're 100% right. We will go to break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Playmakers. We Speak Sport.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with Wham Incorporated. Wham Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. Wham Inc. for the hero in you.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Friends of Rapids Music presents Music Fest 2025 at Robinson Park on September 20th. Enjoy a full day of live local music, a fun-filled kid zone, and plenty of food and drinks. Don't miss crowd favorites like the Beer and Pretzel Polka Band, the Monday Night Takeout Band, a soulful folk and blues band, and the electrifying Adam Gruhl and the Space Burritos. Robinson Park will come alive with the sounds of the city, so turn up the volume and dance along. Join the celebration from 12 till 9 p.m. September 20th. Free and fun for the whole family.
Have you been pushing off your landscaping for years? Call First Class Lawn Care. They strive to work with you and make your landscaping dream come to life. They have a great fall cleanup special going on right now. Schedule for your leaf cleanup and mention WIRI. You're going to get 10% off your quote. 715-572-7970. First Class Lawn Care, proud sponsor of the new Country Top 3, Friday afternoons on 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight. A low in the mid-50s with patchy fog tomorrow morning. Then turning mostly sunny, warm for tomorrow afternoon, high in the mid-70s. 80s for the rest of the week and weekend. Next chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at 105.5 WIRI. We Speak Sport. Big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the hour, giving us a chance to hang out with you. Talk sports. Call up and join the conversation. 424-2600. Just a touch or two away in the Civic Media app. Feel free to text us if you'd like as well. We want to talk with you. Want to hear your sport takes and feelings. Want to get into our schedule. Talk a little high school sports with you, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, just piggybacking on our last conversation, I was getting into something that I wanted to ask you and the audience about, because we keep seeing a lot of these coaches keeping these young quarterbacks, in particular, kind of like Josh Allen is a pretty good example of this. Josh Allen has listened to his coaching, listened to the playbook. He's following the rules. You can tell when he does it because Josh Allen has no poker face. And when a play breaks down, he becomes a little kid. He's a centaur that is a little kid. And his eyes get humongous, and he just destroys who's ever in front of him and just runs it like, where's the end zone? I'm going for it. He is a joy to watch. And he has been since Wyoming. This is like that.
Oh, I know, man.
That part of his game has not changed. He is still the same player he was at Wyoming in that regard. But he's done so well at sticking with the system and working with things. I think a lot of people would think that Patrick Mahomes isn't that, but that is exactly what Patrick Mahomes is. He just is the best improver we've ever seen at quarterback. You've not seen a kid with a brain like that before at quarterback. I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time. I'm just saying you've never seen an improver like him.
You know, as I've gotten older, the closest one I've seen to an improv like that, and you can say what you want, Fran Tarkenton and everybody.
Great one.
One was mid-90s hype talent, Brett Favre.
The
shuffle pass and the throwing while falling.
Top five quarterbacks of all time.
I'm sure other quarterbacks have done that too. But as a kid watching that, I can't remember watching anybody do that since Favre.
Yeah,
I mean it happens game to game. I get
right.
that.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, but because they've coached it out of these guys.
Yes. You don't take a chance,
especially with what Aaron Rodgers did in his MVP seasons of having
goodness.
Like 9,000 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Right.
Like that changed everything. Every coach saw that and said, "I want that."
Throw it away. Don't make a play.
So that is what they've done with these players, and you can tell when they take the training wheels off.
Yeah.
We saw it with one of the better coaches in football, in Connell, and he had the training wheels on JJ. Had him.
Nope.
And then all of a sudden, you know what? Kid's ready to roll. I'm going to take the training wheels off.
It'll be interesting.
See what happens. I know what I've heard from coaching staffs about Caleb Williams. I know what I've heard about CJ Stroud. I know what I've heard about a lot of young quarterbacks. And I really feel like you're better off letting them run free. Now, I'm really curious because I've never heard anything about Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. I don't know anything about like how much of the play is. He seems like he is definitely following the playbook. But I would love to know when he's calling audibles more. I'd like to know when he is taking over a little bit. Just out of curiosity. I have there's nothing that I'm looking to make a point about.
No. I'm
just curious just because I find it wild that one of the more popular covered quarterbacks in football in Jordan Love, and we don't really hear much about that. I'd like to hear about it just because I'd like to know a little bit more about him because I've been a fan of his since college. I like him as a player.
I think you can tell out of him when the receivers break off routes. I think that's when you can tell he's kind of going off script when the receivers go off. I think the receivers go off because they see the script is kind of falling apart on that particular play. So I honestly think it's fairly well camouflaged.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think.
We get into our schedule. It's some high school football that we got coming up this week. Watoma, Everett, Nakusa. You, Randy, Seth, going to cover this one for us. Friday night football, nothing better. 6:50 pregame will kick off. Before we get to it, Michael, how was covering volleyball the other night?
That seemed
like a lot of fun. I got to hear a little bit of it. You guys sound great.
It was fun. Wish we could have seen a little bit more competitive. Newman's just at a different place.
Mm-hmm.
They're just at a different place. No dig against Assumption by any means at all. Just different place for the teams. And it was fun to watch. Two young teams. Assumption very young. It'll be interesting to see how they grow through the year and maybe into next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, Merriwood Conference is really, really tough. And the Royals, they probably got their work cut out for them. But they'll get there. They're a young team.
Excited that we even, I'll be honest, excited we even get to cover volleyball.
Next Thursday will be a fun one, too.
Assumption at Port, that's going to be a great one. 7 o'clock right here at 105.5. But I appreciate that. And again, you and Beth, it's great to hear, especially for you and Beth, two pun lovers and finding each other here on the radio, covering volleyball. It's great.
I feel bad for Seth. a little bit.
He's paid well. He's paid
Yeah, he can deal with it.
I hope he's paid well. we also want to talk about this game coming up on Friday, Michael. Do you have any bit of a I don't like to put preview on you. I don't like to do that, especially when it comes to high school sports. But exactly, I know my teammate. I know what you can handle. So I ask you, when I'm looking at this game, and we're only in week two here of the high school football season, there's only so much you can tell. Wetumpka, Nakusa. Nakusa last year, pretty darn good team, playoff team.
Yep.
How are they looking this year? How is it looking for this local team, the Papermakers?
Well, with Nakusa, they lost like 12, 14 seniors. So they're a relatively young, inexperienced team, especially in the trenches, where they had one returning athlete. He was an all-conference member, but Nakusa's line was legit. Yeah. All right, so coming up against Wetumpka, they got a win. They beat Mauston last week. Nakusa had a rough go with Berlin, the defending conference champions. Berlin probably going to win it again. They're solid. They're a good team. They have one loss on the season to Wyawega, Vermont, and that was a one-point loss, like 42-41. So that was a shootout. Could go either way. Wetumpka, they're going to throw the ball around a lot. Nakusa, they're more of the tried and true wing tee, going to misdirection, counter, waggle, try to get the defense looking right when they should have looked left, and vice versa. Nakusa, well, first off, Mauston, everything's brand new down there, so I'm not really expecting much out of Mauston.
Yeah.
And Mauston is now where Wetumpka, I think, was a year ago. Wetumpka was pretty weak. But, another year in the system for Wetumpka. They're going to be better. And I think we're going to see a good one. I kind of lean towards Nakusa holding serve at home. I like Nakusa in this one, but that's why you play the game. I mean, high school sports is really hard to predict. I mean, no disrespect to Assumption, but I don't think too many people had them beating Pacelli last week.
Wanted to get to that for sure. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's a
fantastic win for that program. And maybe we don't know. Hopefully they get some nice stuff for them to happen this season. But them being the last year in this league, in this conference, I should say, in this style of football, 12-man football, what an awesome win for them.
Yeah, and when they come up, they're gonna have a tough go of it this week.
Yeah.
Iola is a winnable game. It's at home. Iola has one of their better players who's getting D1. D1 offers Corey's Lock, and he, from what I understand, he's not going to play. But, I don't get the scouting reports. I don't care that much. It's just high school. But the Royals, they can maybe make some noise in this one. They just got to play within their system.
Talking to people that know much more and much smarter than I am about this stuff, especially high school sports, that victory is going to go down as one of the most impressive ones in this season for any of these teams.
I would agree.
In major part, for those that aren't paying it, that don't know, and I don't blame you if you don't necessarily, all of us are crazy high school sports fans, but Assumption is playing with a lot of guys playing both sides, playing
almost everybody.
Just such a short team. They don't necessarily have the depth that anybody else, including Pacelli, has.
Right.
The reasons why that victory stands out so much more than others is going to be really fun to look at the end of the season, I think. And when we look back and see these major games, these big victories, I know it wasn't a playoff game. I know it's so early in the season, and it's nothing against Assumption or Pacelli in this regard. But, man, it's just going to be a fun game to look back on and be like, dang, that was a big win.
Yeah. They played within their system. They played smart. They didn't turn the ball over. There were a couple turnovers, don't get me wrong. But they didn't let them come back and haunt them. They scored 13. They bookended the game. 13 in the first, 13 in the fourth.
Yeah.
And they gave up a couple scores in the middle, one in the second, one in the third. They were efficient. And that's the thing that Coach Sullivan talked about. You eat up clock, you move the ball, and you score. And you know what? That's exactly what they did. And you got to be very happy for them with that.
Any other games on the slate, high school football-wise, that you are looking at or thinking about?
Well, I mean, you got a good rivalry in Port Edwards. Alma Bancroft coming to town, number 6 in the conference or in the state, from what I thought I saw somewhere. They are Alma Bancroft's a good team. Port, they're trying some different things. They're unfortunately 0-3. They had were in a very close one last week going into the fourth quarter. Just couldn't hold on. But they're going to be doing some different things, and kind of excited to see what they do there. And of course, the big one. The battle for the old River Jug.
Yeah, that's always going to be the most exciting game on the calendar for us.
Yeah,
at least,
I mean,
I'll speak for myself.
I mean, the battle for Wood County with Marshfield is always kind of
a nice one. That's a good one.
That's actually been around longer than the River Jug. But that one's a good one, and that one kind of means a bit to me with Lincoln. You know, when my grandmother passed away this spring, class of 48, she didn't care about sports. She cared because I cared, but she didn't care. Mm. And she would ask me, who has a jug? If Rapids has it, do you think they're going to keep it? If they don't, do you think they're going to get it back? And some of the biggest smiles I saw on her face was when I was able to show her the next morning of a picture of me holding the jug. And that... She went to a class reunion. I think it was her 50th class reunion. And she won the raffle of someone had made mock-ups of the jug out of clay.
Mm.
And she won it. And that's
awesome.
That's proudly sitting in my office.
Right
so
on.
I have the
right
jug.
On. Right.
Not the jug, but a jug.
I know what you're talking about.
And I'll tell you what, that's when she passed and I was set up my office. And that was one of the things I did, was I grabbed that off the shelf and I put it in my office.
Any thoughts on that game?
Rapids, they got to start. They are throwing the ball very well. That run game, it's not. Run games don't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to diversify their offense a little bit. Maybe stick with the run a little more. I mean, you've got to go with what works. And if passing the ball is working, do it. I'm not going to sit here and say, but it is funny. It is funny. You know, Randy and I sitting up there, and last year, all we hear is, pass the ball, throw the ball, what's wrong with you? You know, running 50 times in a game and passing, pass attempts maybe four. This year, you might get 5 or 6 passing attempts or running attempts, but you're getting 30-some passing attempts. So, and it's funny because now this year, run the ball. You got to run the ball. It's like, wait, you didn't want them to run the ball last year. You wanted them to pass. And now they're passing.
Fan.
I mean, we laugh. Yes. I mean, it's fun.
But it is also a little, it speaks to what it is to be a sports fan.
And Lincoln, they've got such a tough schedule. I mean, Wausau West coming up.
I'm just looking at it here.
Bash. And I mean, it doesn't really get much easier until they play the Eau Claire schools.
Looking forward to covering this on Monday. We get through these weekend games and everything, and certainly looking forward to this Friday's game at 6:50, Wautoma at Nakusa. Mike, Randy, Seth going to have it for you. We're looking forward to it. We will be your tailgate into that on Playmakers on Friday. We'll be here.
And who knows? I might swing through. I'm hoping. Depends on how I feel. Hoping to swing through Port Edwards. And if there's a halftime, then I might give a call.
Right
give
on.
Give an update.
Right on. I hope so.
We'll
hope
see.
So.
We'll see. It's a little different with the time frames.
Absolutely.
But we'll see what we can do.
Looking forward to it either way. And certainly looking forward to being able to cover this stuff. Did want to mention as well, over on 97.5 FM WFHR, our brother station over there, 7:05 tomorrow on Thursday. You got the Luke Fickell Show. You can check that out if you'd like. Everybody hear what the head coach of your Wisconsin Badgers had to say. And what he's got for you for this upcoming game against Alabama. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say about that. I really, really hope that's an exciting game. I really hope that it's a competitive game from both teams. I don't know what to think, but I do know that it is a game that is featuring two pretty warm, if not hot, seats in Alabama and certainly in Madison, where you've got Coach Fickell, who I don't think is going to get fired no matter how bad this game goes, but he is definitely on the hot seat. And you take the Alabama job, and you immediately, the seat starts hot in Alabama. You can say what you want about Nick Saban now, but Nick Saban taking that job. Here's the thing about taking the jobs at Alabama or certain schools. It is one in a billion that gets to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these guys get fired.
Yes.
Most of these guys don't make it, even the good ones.
You're not Lloyd Carr. You're not Barry Alvarez.
You're not staying there 20 years. You're not staying there 30 years.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you got to win now. And if you, the second, no matter how many championships you win, the second you start to lose, you're gone. That's not what what happened with Nick Saban, but that is how Alabama traditionally goes. When it comes to how it's looking for DeBauer over there, it ain't getting any better, and the schedule ain't going to get any better.
No.
That's for sure. So I don't know that his seat's going to get any cooler. I don't know that anybody's seat is hotter than maybe Billy Napier's in Florida.
Ooh, yeah, that's right.
Although I will throw in there a man who is 52, 56 now, I believe.
Oh, Mike Gundy. Yep.
Yes, who might be able to compete with him in that regard.
Yeah.
It may be. They're not two very different programs, really, when you think about it, necessarily. But they certainly got national championship differences, some of that, I don't say. But as far as their expectations going into this season, neither one of these teams necessarily were teams that we're going to win the whole thing. But also, hey, looking on it, they had this go okay for him at the end of the season, and well, Mike Gundy deserves to keep his job, or Billy Napier gets an extension for some crazy reason. One of the better hustles that happened in football last season was Billy Napier convincing everybody he can coach. It's wild how that's going to turn out in the next couple of weeks, because I don't think in the NFL you're going to see a head coach losing his job in the first month. In college football, I will bet you a DraftKings dollar that they will.
Unless you're Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, that happens. It happens. Yeah. I don't.
Brian Daboll, maybe, because it sounds like the locker room's not really a big fan of him.
I think Lane Kiffin's going to be the next head coach of Florida Gators.
It could be.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Or
LSU. Because I don't think Brian Kelly's going to be able to stay in LSU. I know LSU's got a good team. They got such a hard schedule, and it's Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni was holding up the Lombardi Trophy, and I still didn't believe he was a good coach. I still don't. You cannot convince me of that. I don't care. Brian Kelly is not a championship coach. He's just not. There's no way. And he could. If it happens, I will eat my words.
Yeah.
And I would eat them right in front of Brian Kelly's face with his weird red face. But I do not believe Brian Kelly is a championship coach. And outside of a championship, I don't think he keeps his job. I don't know that he will. And maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's next year. But it is definitely a hot seat there.
Well, he was talking about, he's like, we need to make Death Valley again. People come here to lose.
Yeah.
And we got to get back to that. So
yeah, Hugh Freeze is another one in Auburn.
Auburn's always a weird one.
Yeah, sure is. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the college football schedule ahead and some more fun coming up on Playmakers. We Speak Sport.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with Wham Incorporated. Wham Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. Wham Inc., for the hero in you.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
105.5 WIRI is your home for country favorites and classics and high school sports. Mike and Randy bring you the action all season long. Proudly brought to you by Rodeo Grill, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, J. Junkyard Bar and Grill, 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., and Rapids Transmission. WIRI sincerely appreciates the support of our local businesses. Call 715-424-1300 if your business would like to help bring these games to our listeners. 105.5 FM or on to the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight. A low in the mid-50s with patchy fog tomorrow morning. Then turning mostly sunny, warm for tomorrow afternoon, high in the mid-70s. 80s for the rest of the week and weekend. Next chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Excuse us, King. Got to get through here. Michael and James wrapping up Playmakers. A handful of minutes left in the quarter. We want to hang out with you and hear from you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Did have a couple of quick hits we wanted to get to before we wrap up the show. Anthony Rizzo is retiring as a member of the Cubs after 14 major league seasons. Congrats to him. I think there's very few players I can say this about. I got to see his first at-bat, his first game. Cool. The one Wrigley Field game I've been to, I just happened to be. He was actually supposed to make his debut in the next night, but he pitch run. He was a pitch runner. Came in, had an at bat. I think he got a hit. It was real fun, and who knew that he was going to turn into what he did and help bring a championship to the North Side? That was very cool. Congrats to him on a great season. A shame to see the way it has to go out with concussions and everything, but 14 major league seasons.
But I'm just glad he can spend more time with the pink ladies, you know, Rizzo.
Right on. That was great. No, that was perfect. I got the reference.
All right, just making sure.
And for you, I had two other things I wanted to mention. One, the 2016 Lacrosse Loggers alum, Nick Raquette, made his debut for the St. Louis Cardinals. Had a scoreless inning the other night. Yep. Had to be nice to further you to see that. Raquette is the 34th former logger to make it to the major leagues.
Lacrosse has always had a very good operation.
It's a pretty good stat right there. Pretty good one for a stat of the show. And I wanted to remind everybody that the WIA State Team Wrestling Tournament is moving from UW Fieldhouse to the Lacrosse Center starting in 2026. Tell everybody about that if you hadn't heard that. That is part of the reason for that, if you don't know, is they need the space.
Yeah, when they expanded D2 and D3 to the full eight team field now, because D1's always been eight, and then in 2027 when they implement a girls' dual tournament. Man, that's wrestling's a fast-growing sport.
It's really cool to see.
And especially on the girls' side, so I'm really happy to see that.
Terry, wherever he is, probably on a lake fishing. Not at this time of day. He's not fishing, no.
No.
He's hopefully enjoying himself wherever he is and smiling, that's for sure. Yep. Looking up at the beams and smiling. We had an injury report come out. I wanted to touch on that.
As of right now, Green Bay does have two listed as out tomorrow, and that's Brenton Cox Jr., defensive line with a groin injury, and unfortunately, Bo Melton, cornerback, shoulder. Those guys are going to be out. There are questionable Zane Anderson, Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, Mike Parsons, and Zach Tom. But those guys aren't really surprised either.
No, I thought that Quay Walker, bang up was a little something to keep an eye on. If he's all right, I think that team, he's the play caller on defense. Not only that, but a number of other factors that make him important. That's good.
Yeah, and then there was Washington. They've just got two guys that are questionable, and that's punter Tressway and Dietrich Weiss Jr.
If you are not a fan of either Washington or Green Bay, or you just don't want good football, I guess, and you want something else to watch on Thursday,
hate America too,
you just keep adding on to it. NC State at Wake Forest is going on ESPN. I guess you can watch that. I was trying to look at the college football schedule, the early games, Thursday, Friday games. I always like to see if there's a fun one
in there.
I
didn't see too many big ones this week.
Indiana State against Indiana, but that's not really a big deal. That's about it. Now, I was looking at the slate itself, though, and there are some exciting games there.
Okay.
I know Clemson at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's not
ranked.
That should
be good.
That should be good. In Tech, that should be good. Wisconsin at Alabama, of course, going to be covering that on WFHR. We'll have that game for you kicking off our pregame. We'll start at 9 a.m. for that. Be sure to check it out on 97.5 FM, where you can find all Badger games. Very excited to see how that one turns out. Central Michigan at Michigan. Again, not a big game. But then there is number 6, Georgia, at number 15, Tennessee. Tennessee.
Ooh, that's at Rocky Top?
I am a sneaky Tennessee fan. I don't know why. I blame the color orange because I love orange so much or something, and there's just something about that team and the state of Tennessee that I've always liked. Yep. But I'm excited about that game. Here's the thing that I'm excited about, and this isn't really so much to do with Georgia. Georgia just happens to be the team that has been so dominant for all these years, and they've earned this. I say this in respect. I'm not afraid of anybody in college football this year if I'm a team that's competitive.
No.
You know, I don't have anybody in this race. My team, nobody's even thinking about.
Right.
To me, I'm looking at this and I'm like, ooh, we got a wide open year. Like, this isn't a year where it seems overly dominant. Ohio State is Ohio State, and yes, they stand out a little bit.
People were talking Texas, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oregon, maybe?
I certainly don't think Penn State is that. I don't see them.
They were another one, yeah.
They're a good team, and these are good teams. Georgia, good team. I'm not afraid of them, though. They got holes. Right. You get a good coaching staff. You get a smart, smart coaching staff that can see, take advantage of those. None of these teams are undefeatable. I don't know. I think that it could be a really exciting playoff, a really exciting season with college football in that regard. Reminds me a little bit of NCAA men's basketball, where you got a bunch of good teams, but nobody's really that great. You know, who's going to step up and everything. We'll see how it goes. We'll be following and we'll be covering it, of course, on Friday. We got more playmakers for you from 4 to 5. Looking forward to it. And of course, be sure to join Michael, Randy, Seth this Friday, 6:50, with Toma at Nakusa. We got that game for you right here at 105.5. We're excited about it. Should be a lot of fun. Gonna be a good one. We're looking forward to hearing it, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Also want to remind everybody, got Laura coming up. She's got some great music for you. I see some Kenny Chesney, Tracy Lawrence, Alan Jackson, all in your future, everyone. You guys have a great night. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you later right here at
live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Wednesday evening. I hope y'all are well. Let's kick the show off with Kenny Chesney.
Working 6 days a week, wearing holes in the soles of the shoes on my feet. Been dreaming of getting away since I don't know. Ain't no better time than now for Mexico. No shoes.